In Sydney, just checking.
NVK3HJQ, good morning from down under.
Three more additions to the list for tonight, VE3ZFS, VK2DY, and John, VK3HJQ. All right, and any additional stations, come on in, and then we'll move into this first one. And this one is, what is the hard problem of consciousness, and why does it keep showing up? Once in a while on the Science Net, you'll hear me report on some study or another where scientists appear to be on the verge of the definition of the definitive explanation for consciousness. And then the research just tends to ebb, and it just goes away. Even with all the phenomenal technology available to help unravel the mysteries of the brain, an explanation for consciousness, It still eludes scientists. They've still got little to go on. The core question of why do all the neurons in our brain allow us to feel, think, and exert free will? It's right here where scientists have great difficulty in explaining the gap between what the brain does and how experience manifests itself from the billions of neural connections. And this is referred to as the hard problem. Where does consciousness reside? In other words, the hard problem is where science is trying to explain why and how physical processes in the brain produce subjective experience.
That's a real good question, Ken. I'm just one of VA3WCS, if I may. When the fetus is in the womb, it's starting to develop. I'm just wondering, the human body has an electrical charge to it. I was wondering, perhaps the electrical current going through the body, the charge, maybe having to go and kickstart consciousness because the fetus is developing. Just an idea. Back to that, VA3WBZ.
W2.
And William, we may have doubled.
Okay, Ken. No, what I was saying that the human body has electrical charge going through it, I believe, anyway. With the electrical charge that we have in our bodies for the woman, when she's carrying the fetus in its embryo stage, I'm wondering if that would have any significant effect on how the embryo would start to develop memory down the road as it's developing that. Just an idea, thinking off the top of my head. Back to that VA3WVZ.
Yeah, William, VA3WBZ. Yeah, everything, all the process, like we're just one big, not big literally, but just one big electrical charge, all these different chemicals. We have calcium channels and potassium channels that are exchanging charges back and forth in the cells, and these processes are going on within the neurons as well. And when a fetus is forming, starting to accumulate all the necessary chemicals and all the necessary connections for it to function as a living whole human being once it's born. Just drop in. One of the things they have discovered, you're mentioning too about how certain things might help it develop. I think maybe you're thinking along the lines of cognitive functioning, intelligence, things like that. They've discovered, too, that the mother's emotional state can play a big role in how the child's mental functions are after it's born and starts to develop. Mother's anxious or depressed, of course, those chemical stress hormones and things like that are being produced in her body. That travels to the child and can help program the child before it's born. So a lot of stuff going on there. And just to finish up on this article here, I was just making a bit of a correlation between the triangle of consciousness and how that relates to artificial intelligence. Just drop it. And AI, right now it's causing researchers to bring up more and more questions about consciousness. Suppose you have an artificial intelligence that can describe the world around it as good as we can, colors, objects, or even detect danger. Every aspect of why it can do this can be explained by looking at every circuit and every algorithm. A question then comes up, are there any actual feelings or a type of inner movie being experienced by the AI? So science can explain and even alter brain chemistry that produces certain moods, but to explain why these states of mood feel the way they do, you end up with correlations of like a state X in the brain and the experience Y. So how does the state X in the brain correlate as experience Y or manifest itself as experience Y? Just drop it. Neural patterns and experience cannot be explained, cannot explain why that pattern is accompanied by any experience at all. For instance, eating a delicious piece of cake or hearing your favorite song still evades explanation as to why that song might move you, or why that why does that eating the cake produce an inner experience the way it does. Unlike explaining the biology of the brain in terms of abstract data, consciousness cannot be inferred through data. You immediately are aware of it. Advanced AI, going back to advanced AI, just drop it. Advanced AI systems like the LLMs have reignited the consciousness debate. There are systems that can hold conversations, describe emotions, and even reflect on their own limitations that sound very human-like. Are systems like this just parroting information with no inner life, or if this behavior becomes rich enough, drawing conclusions saying that there is nobody home might just be more superstition than science. So there might be more going on there than you're actually aware of. Just dropping again. And some researchers entertain the idea of panpsychism. And this is where simple systems have extremely simple forms of experience. And our consciousness comes about when basic ingredients get organized in a certain way. Simple forms of experience combine and turn into a more complex, richer one. But then that doesn't really answer anything either, because then that does nothing to explain how scattered micro-experiences add up to structured consciousness. So eventually, consciousness might just come down to the fact that the brain is using processes that current science ideas can't explain or capture. One of the big things they're looking at now is quantum mechanics and uncertainty and superposition, and how that may play a big part in what exactly causes our consciousness to manifest itself. And this is VH3KX, and if there are any stations out there, if you have a comment, you'd like to comment about that last article, you have something else you'd like to comment about, come on in, or if you'd just like to check in. Either way, come on in.
Victor Alpha 3, Charlie Romeo Foxtrot, Vern in Waterdown, just checking in and out, been listening along.
Vern, I've got you checked in. VA3 CRF.
Thanks for that, Net Control. Just out walking this evening, walking by the Rib Fest here in Waterdown, and just appreciate to listen along to the program. VA3 CRF.
And enjoy your walk, Vern. It's a nice night out for that. Next week, I think we're looking at some pretty horrendous temperatures. All right, thank you. And any additional stations? And then this next one about quantum physics is much stranger than science fiction.
VA6, TPO, out walking the dog. There's a hat.
VA6, TPO, I've got you as well. Thanks for joining us. Well, we'll head into this one here, but quantum physics, much stranger than science fiction. And one of the biggest issues with quantum mechanics is that particles don't behave like a bunch of balls following predictable paths. It's dropping. To the contrary, they're described as a wave of possibilities that capture all the outcomes that could happen if they were measured. The double slit experiment, that's a good example, where a particle goes through an experimental equipment and over many runs builds up an interference pattern on the other side. So you've got two little slits very, very close together. You put a beam of coherent light, that means light is not scattering left, right, up and down, going through the slits, and it starts to show a pattern in behind. On a screen. So when this interference pattern builds up, it says, well, it's a wave and it's not particles. And it's almost as though each particle chooses different paths simultaneously, then interferes with itself before picking a final outcome after being observed. And you would think that it somehow knew it was being watched. And this is called superposition, where a system can exist in a blend of states until a measurement forces it into a definite result. This implies that reality is probabilistic and exists as maybes and not certainties until something forces it to decide one way or the other. And then there's entanglement. And I've mentioned this a few times on various science apps, where most people, when they hear about entanglement, a lot of people just walk away and say, well, this sort of thing's impossible. And the gist of it is that two particles interact, and you have two particles close enough, they start to interact. Their properties are no longer seen as existing independently. They create a single quantum system, no matter how far apart they are. No matter how far apart they are, they're constantly sharing information back and forth. By measuring one, you instantly know the result you'll get from the other. Einstein had a problem with this. He called this spooky action at a distance. And then comes the question of what exactly is a measurement, and when does reality decide on a particular outcome? For instance, physicists can set up devices where they get to choose how to measure a particle only after it's passed through a part of some experimental apparatus. Incredibly, the pattern of results behaves as if the particle's prior behavior adapts to the measurement choice, even though the choice was made later in time. There's another one here. This is another doozy, too, just dropping. And this is referred to as the quantum eraser experiment, where information about what path a particle took is either preserved or erased before detection. Should that path information be available, interference reappears, even though the particles have already flown through space. And the weird thing about this is what this implies is that a particle doesn't have a straightforward, continuous story from A to B. Rather, what could be said about what happens depends on the entire experimental context, including choices after the fact. So it's almost like choices after the fact have predisposed the experiment prior to even taking a measurement. Some suggest that the wave function of probability never actually collapses. Instead, every possible outcome happens in different branches of a constantly splitting multiverse. When you observe a quantum effect, you and the universe effectively divide into all possible results. Just dropping. So what does all this tell scientists so far? Well,